What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver three essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Laban, and this is Mega the Podcast, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we are giving our megachurch a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community so you can be blessed by them. What a treat and a treasure. Well, each week, you know I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how are you doing? So nice to see you.
Too blessed to be stressed, my brother.
Oh, so blessed. You know, I've been having some really great, exciting talks with my Climax kids this week.
Awesome.
Well, you know, a lot of these kids were going to college here in the fall. But as you know, college has been canceled in a lot of these places.
Oh.
And so, you know, I had a bunch of my seniors come to me and they're saying, Gray, you know, we don't want to go to college online or something if we can't actually go to the place that we've, you know, gotten into. And I'm saying, yeah, guys, I would be the exact same way. And so we were like, how can we get creative if you possibly defer for a year, which is what a lot of kids are doing.
Is that
deferring.
Right?
Yeah. They're saying, hey, I'm going to wait a year until I can actually go to college. And so I said, hey, guys, let's get creative about maybe what you can do with the next year. And so I got together with some of my best seniors. It was, I don't like to name names, but we had Cashlyn Arbogast and hashtag Holbrook. And they just said, you know, we've got this money that our parents were going to give us to go to college with for next year. What can we do with it?
Ooh.
And so we came up with an idea called Campus Crusade for Christ.
Campus Crusade for Christ.
Campus Crusade for Christ.
Crusade.
Yes.
Crusade.
So what we did, Hallie, is we contacted Carnival Cruise Line.
Ooh.
And we said, hey guys, you know, we know that you're struggling. How about you donate one of your smaller cruise ships to all the kids that are going to be deferring for a year, and we'll take that cruise ship and we will go spread the good news around the ports of call.
Wow.
They have agreed to it. So basically, these kids are going to do a semester at sea for the first semester. All these college kids from all over the country, we're going to have a campus crusade for Christ, and we are going to go
all throughout the Caribbean. It's going to be so cool. I personally can't go, but I'm going to be,
setting it up,
organizing it. And it's really cool because, you know, we're going to go to St. Vincent, St. Martin, Trinidad and Tobago. We're going to go to Caicos, not Turks. We're not going to do the Turks part, but we are going to go to Caicos.
Cool.
And we're also going to go to a private island that Carnival owns to witness to some of their people. And we're just going to go and spread the good news for an entire semester while these kids can't be at college.
Awesome.
What could go wrong?
That is so cool. And I feel like the cruise lines are taking such a hit right now, and cruises are so awesome.
I know. And I really feel that if there's one industry that needs our help right now, it's the cruise industry. And so, you know, Campus Cruise Aid for Christ is going to be coming to a port of call near you in the Caribbean if you live there and don't know Jesus.
Bringing the good news of the gospel via a cruise ship? That is like a true crusade.
It was really great. But, you know, we actually got the contact because my friend Clay Mason, you know, he kind of does finance and he's a day trader with options. He owns a huge amount of stock in Carnival Cruise Line.
Ooh.
So he was really incentivized to put us in touch with some of the leaders there. And we just had this awesome synergy and looks like it's going to happen. Campus Cruise Aid for Christ.
Great. That's awesome.
How's your week, Allie?
Oh, I'm still on a mountaintop high from our weekend services this past weekend. We're so awesome.
Oh, really? I didn't have a chance to check them out because, you know, I was so wrapped up in Campus Crusade for Christ.
That's awesome. Well, I can fill you in. I just feel like this is one of the things I love so much about Twin Hills is that for our weekend programming, we were really intentional about addressing this thing that has come up because, you know, this Dream Church in Arizona has been taking these hits because they had a rally for the president and all this. And the news, you know, the media outlets are saying that these young Christians were all laughing at racist jokes and stuff, which isn't true.
You can't pay attention to media.
No. And so we were like, let's get ahead of this as another, you know, fellow mega church. And so we did an entire weekend of programming, and Head Pastor Steve did his message all about racism.
Oh, great.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, because it's a relevant topic right now. Like, racism is a relevant, it's for some reason, it's like really relevant.
Yeah, and I watched the whole thing that happened at the megachurch in Phoenix, and because I just think Phoenix is such an awesome place, and Arizona is such a Christian state.
I know.
And so I watched the whole thing, and I said, I honestly didn't hear anything racist. I didn't hear a single, like, you know, black joke or anything
right.
like that. And my son Day said, well, Mom, it was the Kung Flu thing. And I was like, that's pretty funny.
Oh, right.
And also, I said, that doesn't sound like a racist joke. It sounds like a martial arts joke.
Right.
Right? I'm not trying to be cute. Can just anything be racist now?
Right. I mean, that's what a lot of people would lead you to believe. But I think Kung Fu is pretty funny.
I mean, break down the joke. Like, right. I think Kung Fu is what? That's a martial art, right?
Right.
So unless, you know, these, karate people are getting mad in their dojos.
Right.
I'm genuinely confused. So
well,
anyway.
I don't think they are because I have a lot of karate friends.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the dojos of a lot of them have closed, but none of my karate friends were. I have a lot of karate friends, and none of them were mad about that joke.
Yeah, like yellow, black belt, white belt, black belt, yellow belt, green belt.
Right.
My youngest was in karate for a while and is a white belt. And I think the little outfit's so cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were like, we're going to have a weekend full of programming, original, awesome, God-centered, creative programming. Attacking the idea, you know, talking about racism. We aren't going to shy away from hard subjects, you know. And so we had this awesome drama that came before the message. And the drama, it was like recreating. Our drama team did this thing where they recreated this old 60 Minutes or NBC thing about racism where they had these little kids looking at a little white baby doll and a little black baby doll and saying, like, pick which one is good, pick which one is bad, pick which one is pretty, pick which one, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of recreated that social study that had been happening. And I thought it was so cool because it was all about racism.
Mm-hmm. And what was the takeaway?
The takeaway was probably that Well, of course, you know, racism is bad.
Right.
And we aren't. So Steve did this whole message afterwards.
I love the name, Off to the Races.
Wasn't that cool?
That was great.
We had it printed up and all the bulletins and everything. It was really, really cool.
And I love how you had a bunch of different, you know, horses of different colors as the, like, programming, you know, on the program.
Yeah, every color of the rainbow.
Right.
And have you seen the Twin Hills website this week?
No, I haven't
checked
it out.
It's all Off to the Races.
Oh,
and it's
great.
Really, it's really cool. Anyway, so head pastor, you know, Steve gets up and he does a message,
right,
sort of breaking down how, you know, Christians just intrinsically, by sheer virtue of being a Christian and a Christ follower,
right,
we are intrinsically unable to be racist.
Right, you because, can't be racist if you're a Christian.
No, because right, it's the gospel is about love.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was like, oh, thank goodness, because, you know, it's just hard to keep up with everything out there and everything.
It's kind of cool that, you know, because Jesus preached the gospel of love and we totally subscribe to that, it sort of lets you off the hook when people are going, hey, you know, that's racist. You go, actually, I'm a Christian.
And we recently hired a diversity pastor to, you know, do diversity things. And we have three black worship leaders up there praising him. So I just think that's awesome. And then there's all this language coming out, like my son, Day. He's like, well, Mom, everything you're saying, you know, that is all, that whole, everything about that weekend service was all tokenism and about and privilege. And I said, Day, did you ever see that movie, Marie Antoinette?
Yeah, I didn't. It looked a bit boring. And anything in a costume, I'm just always a bit bored.
Well, it's a perfect example of, like, I think when people are talking about privilege, they're talking about, like, Marie Antoinette, maybe even the Queen. I love
right,
stuff about England. Like, that is privilege. You know, it's all, you're just surrounded by cake and you're
right,
wearing bustiers and big ornate gowns
right,
and stuff.
You're drinking out of little cups. You know, everything's got a bit of gold on it.
Yeah. I'm like, Day, I'll tell you what privilege looks like. And that's what it looks like. And I think, you know, Marie Antoinette kind of got some, she caught some guff for that, actually.
Right.
And I said, look at my life, Day. I do yard work. I still haven't done my taxes.
Exactly.
I pay bills, which is more than he does. I pay for his cell phone. I'm like, tell me what in my life of how hard I work and get up and do dishes and everything. Tell me what about that is looks anything like Marie Antoinette. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I said, and as far as tokenism goes, I have no idea what you're talking about, but tokenism sounds like you, kiddo, when you're always hitting me up at Chuck E. Cheese for more of them tokens.
Yeah. You know, Hallie, I don't even really see color.
Is that right?
Right. I mean, you know, my I had a girlfriend, not sure if I mentioned it before, but Minga, and, you know, she was a person of color.
Oh, was she?
Well, actually, I don't know, because I'm colorblind. I'm completely colorblind.
Oh, like red, green colorblind?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what does my shirt look like?
Just, you know, I don't know. It looks sort of black.
Really?
Right.
Oh, wow.
What color is it?
It's bright red.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, as far as I know, I don't know what she was.
Well, what did her face or facial features look like?
You know what? We talked on the phone mostly, and a lot of her pictures were from pretty far away.
Oh, okay. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, just like without God's love, we're nothing but a clanging cymbal. I've got a cymbal of God's love today, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Gene Garbus, everybody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This is a beautiful little spot you have here.
Welcome, Gene. This is an honor to have you.
Well, Gene, it was so nice to meet you the other day. And just to give the listeners a little background, we finally had our annual harvest market, which is, you know, basically a farmer's market that Twin Hills does in our parking lot. And we met Gene out there at his really interesting table. It was called Gas of Christ. And we didn't really know much about it. So we wanted to bring him on to tell us a little bit about what Gas of Christ is.
Yeah. And I do have to tell you, Gene, I got one of your massage oils that I picked up. I wasn't sure what Gas of Christ meant. I didn't know if I was going to be able to get gas for my car or gas for my grill. But I went over there and you gave me this lavender scented oil that I can rub on my neck or anything that smarts. And I'll tell you what, I can't stop rubbing it in every which way. It's good stuff.
Oh yeah. You're going to love the body lotion. Is just wonderful. It works wonders. It's exactly what Christ had in mind when he made this plant medicine. So I'm a Christian plant medicine specialist. Ooh. I deal Christian plant medicine. I grow, I harvest, and I bring it to congregations around the U.S. And my plant medicine, because not a lot of people will say this, but God created everything on this earth, up to and including weeds, plants, rocks, dogs, and dog poop.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. He made it all. Some people make an argument that the dog made the poop, but I say that God made the dog, so ipso facto, God made the dog poop. And since we're all under this big umbrella of all the stuff God created, there's no point in having any blind spots. If you know plant medicine will work, God made Viagra. God made seatbelts. God made all these things that make our life better and safer. Let's just use the plant medicine that God also put out there for us.
That is so true. That is so true. I don't remember which day of creation it was that he made the plants and the trees and everything, but you're right. It all comes from him. And I'll tell you what, I don't know that much about plant medicine, but it sounds like, is it like a holistic type of thing? Are you one of these holistic fellas? Organic or whatnot?
I'm a little afraid of that word as it gets a bad rap in a lot of communities. So I'm not as holistic as I am Christistic. And this is all based on the teachings and the preachings of one young Jesus Christ, young and old, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all three of them, the Holy Trilogy,
yes.
a Holy Trinity. The Holy Trilogy, we know, is Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
The Holy Trinity, yep, we know, is, yep, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what I'm getting at is this medicine is from Christ for the followers of Christ. So when I get this opportunity to share it with everyone, I'm just spreading Christ's word.
Yeah, and I feel like Lord of the Rings is just an allegory for the story of Jesus anyway. Like, Sméagol is Satan, and Strider is Christ, and Gandalf is God, and he defeats the Balrog, which is eventually what God is going to do to the evil one, Satan.
Boromir is Judas, and he ends up turning around for 30 pieces of silver. Ipso facto, we know that that 30 pieces of silver is actually just the one ring to rule them all. The Nazgul are the money changers. And if Samwise Gamgee is Peter.
Yep.
And then that puts Merry and Pippin as Mary and Joseph. Granted, they're not exactly the fathers of... Let's make Bilbo is Joseph. Frodo is Jesus. And you wait, no, Strider is Jesus? Okay, I follow here now. Let me back that up. Aragorn, son of Arathorn, he is called Elisar, the Elfstone of Dunedin. That man himself is Jesus Christ. Got it. Copy that. In an allegory sense, in a storytelling sense.
True, yeah.
I'm not... We're not worshiping false idols here. This isn't... what's his name? Simon Cowell. We're not trying to... Is that America's Got Talent? I don't watch network TV.
I love that show. The only one I would say, Gene, is that I don't know where Legolas and Gimli would fit into the Bible characters. I can't imagine who that would be.
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Let me see if I could place them. Gimli is one of the Corinthians. And then let's make Legolas. Oh, Legolas. He's a Gamorite?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think J.R.R. Tolkien, Jonathan Ronald Reuel Tolkien, just ripped off the Bible anyway, because, and I'm not sure if this is Hobbit or Trilogy, but remember when those trolls didn't leave by sunrise and they turned into pillars of stone? It's just like what Lot's wife did when she looked back at and turned into a pillar of salt. I think J.R.R.
Thank
was just,
you.
Yep, yep.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That is from The Hobbit. That is true. And The Hobbit, 12 dwarves.
I hear
12
you.
Friends to one Hobbit.
Wonder where that came.
Where did I hear that before? The Bible was the first book. Every book is just a ripoff of that. Whether it's Infinite Jest, Lord of the Rings, Blade, the graphic novel that introduces the African-American vampire hunter. Any one of those books is just a ripoff of the Holy Bible. And that's my take on that.
Okay, great, guys.
Have you been enjoying any of your personalized incense sticks that I made for y'all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great. Actually, yeah. So these, that's what I was wondering if I could bring up, just because Lord of the Rings, you know, it's fine, but it's a bit boring. You know, it's just, yes, I have been enjoying these incense sticks, and these are actually called ipso facto, which I thought was cool. That's the name of the stick.
It's a phrase I learned a while ago, and I forced it into my vocabulary, and I say it.
Right,
six
you
to
really
seven
like
times
to say
in conversation.
It. And yeah, it's really cool because, you know, Gene, when I lit this up, you know, I've been having a bit of a stressful time lately, and I just really I lit it in my condor, and my whole condor building smelled beautiful with this ipso facto smell. And then a couple of the teenagers downstairs came wandering up because they were like, "Hey, what's going on up here? We like this smell." And I was like, "Get out of here, you! Get out of here, you guys! I'm just trying to relax in this smell." So, yeah, thank you so much for that.
It's a real natural smell, outdoorsy smell.
Not a lot of people know this, but there's a story in the Bible where Jesus anoints himself with the holy oil. We all know about this. Jesus of Nazareth,
right?
They called the anointed one.
Right.
Right? And that's because he took, and there's a recipe. It's the only recipe in the Bible. You're not going to find corn muffins. You're not going to find none of that in the Bible. The only recipe you're going to find is for the secret holy oil. And that requires 9 pounds of a plant that they refer to as cannabosum. And they mix that with the oil and then use that to anoint a person. Now you tell me, you take 9 pounds of cannabosum and some olive oil, put it in a jar and you lay in that, my friend, you will believe yourself to be the Son of God.
Wow. Now, I didn't follow most of that because I was trying to look on this little tin of mints that you gave me. It says CBD mints, and I was keeping them in my purse trying to use them kind of like a breath mint, but my kids got into them and just couldn't stop. They keep stealing them from me. I need to know when you're going to, as a vendor, be set up again because I got to get more of these mints.
Those mints are for, that CBD stands for Christ Beats Devil.
Oh,
and that's just,
yes.
With the help of those mints, you yourself can beat the devil.
Oh.
And they're fine for kids. These Christ Beads Devil Mints, we'll call them CBD for short. Not even people really fully understand the effects of these mints, but we do know that we're willing to give them to our pets and take big chunks of it before we go to sleep. And we're not exactly, no one could really articulate how Christ Beads. That's why I think a lot of us Christians are loving CBD, because we can't really explain how it works, but we know it helps us personally, and we refuse to look at it in any other way.
Well, you know, the other day I was at the gym and I was trying to do a clean jerk. I was trying to clean jerk 240 pounds straight over my head, and something popped in my lower back. And I will tell you, I was struck with a blinding pain that had me scream out, you know, basically in a way, I screamed out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because I was in so much pain. And I just thought, you know, for several days, I actually had blood in my stool. But then I went and I used some of these Christ Beats Devil mints. And I will tell you that there was absolutely no pain. And I went back to the gym 2 days later and I clean jerked 320.
Wow.
100 pounds on the clean and jerk in one week. I got to, if you don't mind, I got to film a commercial with you about these mints, because I think this is going to get my mints to be popping off.
Yeah.
And now blood in the stool, hun. Been there, done that.
Really?
Let me tell you. Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, you just get darker toilet paper. That's what I've done.
You know what? I was just at a friend's house recently and noticed some black TP in the bathroom, and I thought that was decadent. That just seems real neat.
A lot of people run into an issue with the dark colored toilet paper because it's hard to tell if you got poo on there still. They don't know if they're on the clean white. You kind of have to learn how to go just by friction. Mm. And this isn't my purview, and I feel uncomfortable getting an opportunity to talk about my business, the gas of Christ. We know what the body of Christ is. We know what the blood of Christ is. But your boy right here has got the gas of Christ, the wind of Christ. And I've been coming here to just talk about that, not to talk about Fecal Matters, the spinoff of Family Matters that I used to love growing up watching, about Urkel's GI tract. I'm not going into any of that now. I'm sorry. Let me back off. Keep it clean. Keep it Christian. I'm on the Twin Hills Harvest Market advertising circuit. I'm not a positive what the context of this interview is, but I'm happy to be here as long as I'm pushing my business, the gas of Christ.
Now, Gene, I did want to ask, you know, how did you get into these? I had two questions, really. How did you get into your interest in plant-based medicine? And also, what was with the two guys, I think the names was ZZ and Blade, that were on either side of you at the table in the parking lot when we were doing the harvest market?
What was that? What was the second part of that? Oh, I'll answer that first part. How did I get into plant-based medicine?
Right.
Easy. Growing up in school, everyone would take their classes and go sit in class and do their homework. And I found school to be just boring. All I could think about was Jesus Christ. Well, at the time, Jesus Christ was coming to me by the visuals of the bra of my teacher that I could see through her white shirt.
Whoa.
So Christ was speaking to me through that, and that's all my brain could focus on. And I found myself having trouble focusing at school. So I started hanging out with some of the Christian kids at school, and we'd meet up at Christ's hour of 20 after 4 p.m. And we would go out behind the school, and we would pass around frankincense. Bump lines of myrrh.
Ooh.
You know, we would just get together and celebrate Christ. We'd play music. Now, not a lot of people know about this. Christ lived to the age of 33.
That's right.
So what we used to do was play 33-minute versions of our favorite songs. We'd have three or four guitars, a couple of drums, a couple of guys banging tambourines. And then we would just kick around a little, we called it a Christ sack, and we would just jam out hard on some of our art. Our God is an awesome God, but a 33-minute version with a 10-minute sitar solo in the middle.
Wow.
And that's just how I found myself. And then as I got older, I got into wine. And wine was putting a belly on me a little bit.
Oh.
So when I downshifted from wine back to the gas of Christ, I found that I wasn't consuming any extra calories as part of my worshiping of Christ. So with the gas, it's been doing everything I need. Now, what was your question about the tables next to me? I forget already.
Well, wait. if I could just interject, Jeannie, because I want to give
Please.
You a little word basket of encouragement. Because here you are, you're a kid, you're in high school, and you're of the male persuasion. And we know that the way God created you, in the same way he created the plants and the dogs and the doo-doo, he created you to have hormones coursing through your veins, and it's the way God made you. And so I don't want you to beat yourself up and feel like if you were lusting in the flesh for that teacher, you know, you were a kid, that wasn't on you. You know who that's on? That's on her. And so I don't want you to carry that shame with you, because she sounds like a bad teacher, because it really is the female's responsibility to dress modestly so as not to cause young, good and upright men to stumble. And so the fact that you had the wherewithal to get away from that wicked woman who was causing you to stumble in the flesh and be filled with lustful thoughts and all of that, and to fall into a Christian group, have these beautiful Christ-centered jam seshes.
Oh, well, I thank you. And gosh darn, I could have used you when I was in high school, because instead of telling me that it was the teacher's fault, I was expelled for getting caught closing my genitals in a big old history book in the men's bathroom.
Did you sustain permanent damage to your genital?
No, not to my genitals per se, but a team of therapists have said I have now sort of locked myself into a kind of fetish kind of life where I equate pleasure so closely to pain that it's hard for me to come. It's hard for me to come without pain involved. I apologize if I use the word. It's hard for me to come without being slapped or bit or struck in any way.
What about when you have to go?
Oh, when I have to go. Well, I can't go without coming first. You're talking about using the toilet?
Oh.
I can't go unless I've come.
Oh, I was
I got to come first, then I go.
Oh, I was just talking about entering and exiting any sort of location.
Oh, well, God help me. Exiting's the easy part. It's entering that causes me the pain.
Now, I guess my question was, that's a fascinating backstory on how you got into plant medicine, but I was just wondering about the two guys that were next to you at the table that was sort of on flanking you, because I guess the names were ZZ and Blade, because I did go up to the table at one point, and one guy grabbed me a bit rough, and he just, you know, he said, move along if you're not going to buy anything, and I was like, who are these rough characters that are here with this awesome table?
Yeah, were they security guards?
Some would say they were security guards. They're not legally security guards, but what their job is to do is to make sure nobody, and this isn't my word, these are their words, so forgive me, but if anyone f***s with our shit, they'll f***ing end them. And that's their quote. I apologize. And those guys, they're great gentlemen. I abhor the use of firearms and their face tattoos and their gloves that have lead knuckles. All that stuff I'm against. But when the proverbial poo hits the fan, that's who you want standing next to you. And I've been at a few of these farmers markets where kids go wild. They start grabbing up all my Christ Beads Devil Mints. They start grabbing all my Ipso Facto sticks. And I'm in deep dog doo-doo.
There it is again.
Yeah, I'm pretty much obsessed with Ipso Facto and dog poop. Those are two things that happen to me a lot in my life. Ipso Facto, why I bring up dog poop so much. But these two I almost swore. These two mothers, they're bad dudes, but sometimes you need to send a bad dude to do the good Lord's work. And that's why they go everywhere with me.
Wow. That's awesome. So wow. I guess I just had one question when it came to, I totally understood the mints. I totally understood the incense. But then what I didn't understand were just the sort of green plants. They almost look like terrariums that you were growing. And they all had names like Holy Ghost Ride the Whip.
I had Holy Ghost Ride the Whip. I had Blue Dream of a Burning Bush.
Right.
I had Burning Kush. I had Dude, Where's My Carotomy? I had Leviticus.
Right.
I had Water Walker OG.
Mm-hmm.
There was Eucharist Breath, which is I had Lamb of God's Breath. Alaskan Thunder, Green Crack. These were a few of the ones I had there, correct? And those are the science names. Ew, science, I know, but
right.
They got some things right. Like scientists are the ones who told us it's called dog poop. And
right.
That's why it's in my mind. It's like
ipso facto.
Ipso facto, I'm thinking dog poop. Science ain't all bad.
Now, I brought home that it almost looked like it was like a dried broccoli or something. And I figured it was like an herb you could cook with in the same way that you can like put a bay leaf into your soup or whatnot. And so I threw it into, I was making some chili, and I make like a hodgepodge chili where I put everything in there. So I put some of your Blue Dream of the Burning Bush into a big stew of chili that I was making because I figured it would give it some kick. It would give it some spice. I like a spicy food.
That is a wonderful idea. That's got to be so delicious.
Yeah.
Who'd you serve that to, or who you planning on serving that?
I got four kids, and I got my husband, Lance Laban, and they all loved it. And then we had a great night watching we all got together, and we had to, it's hard for the whole family to decide on what to watch together, but we watched the new Trolls, and it was fun.
Oh, Trolls World Tour?
Yeah.
If you invite me over for a chili cook-off and watching Trolls World Tour, I'll pretend it's the first time I've seen that film just to fit in if that's what I need. But I'll tell you what, I'll take about an eighth of that burning kush to the dome, and I'll sit down and I'll just blast through. Have you watched The Wrong Missy on Netflix? Now it's kind of gross, but once I'm feeling myself and I'm on that Leviticus, I will find myself just laughing my teats off.
Well, he's the guy from SNL who was on SNL when I was the age where I was watching SNL, right? He's the blonde one who's little, who shouldn't get girls but does, right?
Yeah, that's his thing, is sort of like, I'm openly comfortable about my wig and the way I talk and treat women.
That is so great. Now, I just had one question too. What is the tattoo that you have under your eye of the tears that come down? Does that have any significance?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this tear is a tear I shed when we lost one of God's children.
Okay.
And that God's child was my inmate in the San Bernardino County Jail. But yeah, I did do a little time, like Jesus says, pay your penance. So I went to jail for intent to distribute. And in that jail cell, I had to choke out my cellmate and kill him with my own bootlaces over $61.
Whoa, oh. Wait. I have so many questions. Now, first of all, intent to sell what?
Oh, intent to sell my plant medicine. Now, if you can carry a certain amount of plant medicine on you, but if you have it all divvied up into little bags and little pill boxes, the pigs will search your car and they will pin whatever they want to on you, on a good Christian citizen.
Wow, you got attacked by pigs?
Oh, yeah. Well, they were doing the devil's work. They were dressed up like like servants of the devil, doing what they needed to do to stop my good passing of the Lord's word.
I am not surprised to hear it, because in the New Testament, remember, Jesus sent those evil spirits into those pigs, and those pigs, that herd of wild pigs, ran right off the cliff. So those evil spirits must not have been too smart if they just killed themselves by jumping off a cliff.
You know, I haven't even thought about it. I was duped by not so smart evil spirits. That is heartbreaking.
Well, my second question, Gene, is so if I followed what you were saying, you made some mistakes, you crossed the line, you fell out of God's will for a while, and I think I heard you say you even had to take a man's life for your own safety or $61. And I want you to know that it's covered in the blood. You know, Jesus died for someone who murders in the same way he died for someone who gossips. And in Jesus' mind, sin is sin, and gossip is no different than murder. And that brings me to my question. Is that where you found Jesus? In prison? Was there a prison ministry where someone, you know, gave you a Bible or converted you there in the clink?
Oh, you can find Jesus almost anywhere in prison. So I used to do this thing where I would bring myself as close to death as possible to enhance both my climax and envisioning our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would, you know, throw my bed sheets around the bars and just sort of lean forward when they were around my neck. And I would, and as I got closer to passing out, I would find myself even closer to Jesus Christ and getting visions and him saying, look, when you get out of here, all this stuff is going to be legal. It's time for you to make some real money, dog. And Jesus reached out and fist bumped me.
Are you married?
Well, I'm not married so much anymore. I did have a partner, and we were in business together and in love, and then she was killed.
Oh, no.
She was killed in a women's prison. In a fit of irony, her cellmate choked her out with a pair of bootlaces. And I know it's not lost on me. The tragedy hits me extra hard for that reason and that reason alone. But I miss my dear wife every day, and that's why I got to blaze one right now to try to forget about all my pain.
I mean, that's, I guess, the ultimate ipso facto.
Vices, baby. Now, I know we're not supposed to capitalize on one another's vices, but look at your area. Vices are various shades of legal, various shades of moral. So you just look at yourself, look around, see what you can do. Whether it is people are addicted to fidget spinners, people are addicted to Quaaludes, people are addicted to CrossFit, whatever you need to sell them, just juice it up, you know, harness the people's vices.
Gene, if we're being honest here, I mean, I just want to say I might be addicted to sugar, and that's hard for me to say, but I know I am a child of the utmost high God.
Oh, yeah, me too, dog.
Now, I did notice, Gene, you keep using eye drops, and I wanted to say my allergies are acting up, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm definitely not allergic to this plant medicine. I just get some side effects. I'll take one of these blunts, you know, just top shelf weed to the dome, and my eyes light up, and my nose gets all sniffling, my mouth gets dry, and my libido skyrockets. It's all over
really?
The place for me.
Huh.
Now, did you say weed?
I'm supposed to be referring to it as plant medicine the entire time. It's one of the weird auspices we keep up so that we can feel as though, you know, we're not in the pseudo-legal world here.
Hallie, I'm sorry, one second, Gene. Hallie?
Yeah?
I know this because I've got friends that are cops. Weed is another word for drugs.
Illegal drugs?
Weed is another word that people use on the street for marijuana. I know this because I've got a lot of cop friends.
Marijuana.
I'm sorry. Did you say you have a lot of cop friends?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Gene Garbus was played by John Gabris. He was so fun to play with. Check out his hilarious podcasts, High and Mighty, and also Raised by TV. Follow him at Gabris.
I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.